This is part three of details. "When did you receive notification of the military obligation?" said Becker. "A while back, as I said yesterday, and I've thought about it since then, and I'm positive that I informed Mr. Roxbury at that time."
"You did no such thing," bristled Roxbury. "If you had notified me, I would have made note of it and taken the appropriate steps."
"Well, we seem to be at an impasse on this point, and I suggest that we move on. Mr. Snow has stated that he informed Dr. Roxbury, and Dr. Roxbury has replied that he doesn't remember being informed," said Taglieri. Nathan wasn't satisfied with that rendition of the facts, but he decided to let it pass. "The last thing on the agenda for today's meeting has to do with the White family. I received a call from Mrs. White concerning her son. She tells me that he's saying he doesn't have any literature to read this year, and that instead you've decided to talk about the Vietnam War." Snow raised his voice. "You asked me about that yesterday, and I told you that it wasn't true."
"Well, how do you suggest I respond to the mother?"
"Did she ask to speak to me?"
"No, she didn't."
"Then I guess it's your problem." Adele Becker cut in sharply. "You don't see this call from a parent about the literature in your class as your problem?"
Snow began to twitch again. "Ultimately, I suppose that it is.
And you don't see the fact that tomorrow you're going away for 3 weeks, and you haven't begun to draw up at least a unit plan to cover that time as your problem either?"
"I know that's my responsibility."
"Well, thank God for that."
"I don't see the need to become abusive here, Mrs. Becker," interjected the union rep.
"Does the union intend to take responsibility to make sure that I get these plans in time to implement them?" said Adele.
"Of course not."
"Do you, in your capacity as a representative, recognize that adequate planning is one of the responsibilities of the position?"
"There's no need to answer me that way. And it won't be at all useful to become condescending," said Marie.
Becker turned to face Snow. "I want those plans on my desk by 7:15 in the morning."
"That's not a problem," said Snow.
When Van Tech got through to Peter Farmer's office, the conversation was rather brief. Farmer had been the district superintendent for 3 decades, and there wasn't much that was going to get him excited. He listened to the story and was satisfied that Van Tech wasn't saying anything that Becker hadn't already told him. When Van Tech had finished, he said, "Well, this certainly seems quite serious on the face of it. I'll have Mrs. Becker speak with Mr. Snow. But you did say that Dave," he'd written the student's first name down when his father had first used it, "is no longer a member of the class." That would mean that the possibility of him having any more dealings with her Mr. Snow is quite remote.
"That's true," said Van Tech.
"We'll certainly follow through on this. We don't want any of our students ever put into a situation where they're abused in any way." After they said goodbye, Farmer called Becker.
"The situation with Mr. Van Tech has been resolved. I don't believe that we'll be hearing too much more about it. I've told him that you'd speak with the teacher, and he seemed satisfied.
Just make sure the kid doesn't get him for any other classes. I wish the situation with Snow was as easy to resolve, said Becker. I just had him in here with his union rep and the department chair. He's a disgrace. He's given no tests, he's not doing the proper readings with his classes, and he's uncooperative. I suppose you'd better draft up some kind of memo about it to his file. Do you want me to copy you? Not unless you feel it's absolutely necessary. He's also going away for 3 weeks on military leave. And we can't blame the man for that. No, that's true. But it would have been nice if he'd told me before today. When is he leaving? Tomorrow. Well, maybe it's a godsend. It'll give the smoke a chance to clear. Follow up on him and keep me posted as you see the need. Adele Becker was perplexed. She had gotten the message. It hadn't exactly been subtle. This was no big deal. She was to keep him posted as she saw the need. The translation was simple. If you must be a pain in the ass about this, do it sparingly. She didn't have to wonder why. It was a no-win situation for Farmer, and for her, too, actually. Before she got into any more of a confrontation with the union or with anybody else, she was going to have to rethink her position. That afternoon, she wondered out loud with Newton Roxbury about where they were going with this. I think that we have an obligation to educate students, to see that students are being provided with the opportunity for education, said Roxbury. I know what our obligations are. I'm asking you what we can hope to accomplish. We need to get him back on the track in the classroom, if he's capable of that. That's what I've been thinking about. We know that the obvious next step is to evaluate his classroom performance. What are we going to do here if we find out that he's not capable of getting back on track? Suppose we bring his incompetence out in the open, where both of us have to look at it and know it's there, said Becker. What you really mean is, what are we going to do if we know it's there and can't do anything about it? Yes. Roxbury closed his pad and put his pen away. He took off his glasses and put them into his leather case, engraved with his initials. How far are you willing to take it? How bad do you think it is? I'm afraid that we really don't know how bad it is yet. My instincts tell me that it's going to get worse. I was wondering if other administrators had gotten to this point with him and then backed away, said Adele. It's nothing but a huge can of worms. If he's absolutely horrible and we get full board and central office support and he doesn't get any better, it will take a minimum of 2 years before we can actually threaten his job. 2 years. 200 more students. That really is the problem, isn't it? She said thoughtfully. Let's rethink how we want to approach this, or if we want to approach this. I know what I want to do. It's the only thing I can in good conscience do. Is it? We're talking about 1,000 hours of work that you're going to absolutely despise. Do you think that there's a way that you could spend your time more efficiently? I want you to think about that. Snow seemed the less of a problem when he was away. Roxbury and Becker both knew that the classes were reading minimal amounts of material and writing out answers to study guide questions that came from the book verbatim, but they pushed those observations away. Becker pushed for one more conversation with Peter Farmer, who asked her, after she delicately cornered him, why, if snow was so bad, no one else had brought it to his attention before now. She responded that she didn't know. Farmer told her that she had to walk a careful line. I'll support whatever decision that you make regarding him, but I don't want you to be draining down our own resources with any more of this than necessary. Perhaps you can affect a change in his job performance with a certain amount of coaching and arm twisting. Based on that conversation, Becker decided she wanted Roxbury and herself to observe his classes. She also told Roxbury that she wanted to postpone any more discussion of Howard Snow until something after the observation, unless something new came up. Waiting for Snow and most of his students to enter the room, Adele Becker quietly slipped into a desk in the back near the door. She smiled and nodded to the students who acknowledged her. She didn't seem to be staring, but her attention was fixed on the front of the room. The buzz that accompanied an observer passed among the students, and then the bell, which signaled the beginning of the period, rang. Becker noticed that a large group of students entered the room several minutes after the bell, but Howard Snow hadn't seen them or her. He was busily engaged in conversation near the front of the room with Marcy Chez. After 2 minutes went by, and finally one of the students got up and went over to the two. "Can I help you?" said Snow. The student handed him a sheet of folded notebook paper. "The principal is in the back of the room," read the note. Snow began to twitch and stared up at the back of the room. Adele Becker returned his gaze with even-tempered ice. Marcy Chez followed Snow's gaze and was visibly startled by the sight of Becker. She began talking loudly. "Well, I'll make sure that student stays in contact with you so she doesn't fall too far behind." Becker heard one of the students close to her mutter, "What about her behind?" There was a small rash of laughter, and then Chez walked quickly to the door and left without making eye contact with Becker. Becker shook her head in an imperceptible back and forth of disgust and glanced up at the clock. She had been there for almost 8 minutes, and he only now discovered her presence, and that had only come because one of his students had brought him a note. It was the first positive thing that she'd seen about him. He had instilled enough of a sense of loyalty for the kid to take the trouble to tell him that she was there. "Sorry about the interruption," said Snow. "Let's take out our books and get to work." "Which books, Mr. Snow?" "Well," said Snow, thinking it over, "I think we need to concentrate on some grammar today." A collective groan rose from the class. "You can complain all you like, but the way of getting out of using grammar is to stop making stupid mistakes." Becker winced. "If I didn't need a translator to read your essays, maybe we wouldn't have to spend as much time on the boring stuff as we do." Becker winced again. She saw one student put his head down on the desk and close his eyes. Snow didn't seem to notice him. "What page?" said the girl who had brought the note up to the front of the class. Snow thrummed through the book. His eye was an explosion of twitches that made the side of his face go up and down. "I want to say some things about commas," said Snow. The class groaned again. Becker noticed then less than half of them had their books out. Snow read the first 10 rules of comma usage slowly. Then he called on students to reread the rules, after which he would ask a student if he knew what it meant. When the student responded affirmatively, Snow went on to the next rule. Then he turned to the board and started copying the sample sentences from one of the rules out of the book. While he was doing that, the students, who had largely forgotten that Becker was there, chatted among themselves. Snow had just finished copying the last sentence when the bell rang. He quickly told the students to do the exercises on the next page. Becker looked over at a book on the desk of the student next to her and saw that the next page was a continuation of the rules. The class filed out quickly. Becker left without saying anything to him. It was easily one of the worst classes she had ever seen. That afternoon, Newton Roxbury told Snow that he would like to observe one of his classes, and that Snow should pick the one where he felt the most comfortable. Not to be confused with this morning, when the principal just walked into one of my classes, said Snow. "This is one of the two formal observations that are conducted for all tenured teachers." "And what was this morning with her?" "I really don't know," said Roxbury coldly. "You'll have to ask Mrs. Becker." Snow chose the junior class in which Dave Van Teck had been a student. "The class is reading Harriet right now," said Snow. That afternoon, Becker and Roxbury got together to compare notes. Both had come away appalled for different reasons. In the class that Roxbury observed, Snow had read all of the parts of the play to the class for the entire time. Less than half the students had come with their books. Snow read the parts of the play badly. Roxbury had seen students sleeping or engaged in private conversations throughout the class. At one point, a student had raised his hand and asked if the class was ever getting their tests back from the last marking period. Snow had replied that the question was not pertinent to what they were doing. "You've had the tests for a really long time, Mr. Snow. I was just wondering if they were good enough for you to correct this time." "I'll speak to you after class." "Never mind," said the student. Adele Becker shook her head. She said to Roxbury, "It's even worse than I thought it was. I don't see that we have any choice." "I spent the afternoon drafting his evaluation. I'd like you to take a look before I give it to him." Becker read the evaluation form. Of the 14 categories listed, Snow had received unsatisfactories, or needs improvement, in 11 of the categories. In his attached narrative, Roxbury had written, "Mr. Snow seems incapable of preparing and presenting well-organized instruction. His students do not appear ready to learn, and their lack of enthusiasm for work seems to be a reflection of their teacher's inability to be enthusiastic. We need to also draft a letter which said that if improvement isn't shown by the end of the year, that we will be recommending a withholding of increment." "I'll draft it before I go home," said Roxbury. "When do you want to give him the evaluation?" I'm ready whenever you give me the go-ahead." "Do it tomorrow," said Becker. When Howard Snow sat down to read the evaluation form, he prefaced his reading by saying, "I'll bet this is a glowing report." As he read, he shook his head back and forth and several times muttered, "Yeah, right," to himself. Roxbury was maintaining control, but he could feel his anger rising. When he was done reading, Snow said, "You don't expect me to sign this, do you?" "That's up to you." "Well, I'm not signing it," he said. He let the evaluation slide from his hand, and it continued down to the desk in Roxbury's direction. Snow got up to leave. "That's your copy," said the chairman. "Thanks," said Snow. "If you're going to respond, you have 10 days to put it in writing." "It won't take that long," said Snow. Then he left. The next day, the teacher received the letter about the need for improvement and the possible recommendation for the withholding of his increment. Snow went directly to Becker's office and asked if he could discuss the letter. Becker said that she would be happy to do that, but that she wanted Roxbury present, and she suggested that it would be a good idea for Snow to have his rep with him. The mood was tense when the four people sat down for their next meeting. They began by handing out copies of Snow's response to Becker and Roxbury. "To say that I was shocked by the content of my most recent evaluation is an understatement. Why, Dr. Roxbury has singled me out for unfair treatment is a mystery to me. I can only conclude that I possess some unknown quality that he resents. Perhaps it is his lack of experience with secondary school education that is at fault. But only he can truly know that. I have done nothing to him to instigate a personal attack that he has waged on me, but I do know that the strain of his unfair scrutiny has soured my relationship with my principal and adversely affected my relationship with some of my students. I reject the unfound notion that my classes are not well prepared, because Dr. Roxbury has never commented negatively on any of my lesson plans. He has given me no clue that he was less than satisfied with my work. Therefore, as is my right under the contract, I request an observation by a different administrator. I further request that any recommendation regarding me be postponed until the results of that observation are clear." Roxbury felt the heat in his face as he read. He told himself to take it easy. He told himself that he should have expected this kind of attack. He glanced down and saw that a copy of this response had also been mailed to the superintendent. Adele Becker read through the response easily. "I think that getting a second opinion on your classes is a good idea," she said to Snow. Roxbury bristled. Maria Taglieri saw that Newton was on the edge and took an opportunity to add, "What we would really like to add is that Dr. Roxbury's evaluation needs to be expunged from the files." Roxbury opened his mouth to respond, but Becker cut him off. "That's not really an option that, according to the contract, you have. You can request a second evaluation, and as I said, I think you've done well to do so." Newton maintained his silence until the meeting was over. When they left, he snarled, "Can you believe the gall of this man?" Becker laughed. "Do you think that he wrote the response himself?" "I don't think he's capable of it." "It's easy for you to take this lightly. They didn't attack you," whined Roxbury. "Oh, grow up, Newton. What did you expect them to do? You're a big boy. She slid her tongue into the side of her mouth. A little constructive criticism is good for you. Roxbury knew that she was busting his chops, but he couldn't help himself. How can you call that constructive, he complained. Okay, let's get down to business, said Becker. Who do you think we should have observe him? Becker watched Roxbury's face with delight. She had already decided that she was going to do the observation herself. The second marking period was over. Becker sent a memo to Snow requesting that he come to her office with his gradebook and his plans for a pre-observation conference. She purposefully waited until the grades were due before she wrote the memo. But prior to sending it, she received a call from Roxbury. We've got a problem. What is it? Snow's grades. Yes. He's given out 35 incompletes. 35? Yes. I want to see him, and I want to know about each incomplete on an individual basis, said Becker. Sitting in his office, Roxbury reflected with relish on the 2.5-hour meeting that he'd just sat through. Becker was a surgeon, but she made her incisions so delicately that Snow didn't even know he was being cut until she was holding up the organ that she'd removed and was asking him questions about it. Roxbury had begun to take real pleasure in seeing Snow squirm. He waited with expectancy for the nervous tick to begin twitching. He liked the way she led him to the inevitable conclusion that he was an asshole. He fantasized that at one of these meetings, Snow would actually admit that he was a useless teacher and that it was for the sake of everyone involved that he was getting out for good. But that wasn't going to happen. He was making a better salary than anyone else in the department and doing no work for it. After the marathon meeting about the incompletes, Becker directed Roxbury to begin weekly monitoring as part of Snow's professional improvement plan. Snow was to show Roxbury all of his tests before they were given. He was to show him all the corrected papers before they were returned. He was to submit his lesson plans for evaluation and then redraft them as his weekly get-together with Snow. Maria Taglieri had objected to the provisions of the PIP, stating that they placed an undue pressure on Snow. But Becker had showed her where, in the contract, such provisions were allowable, and Taglieri was forced to acquiesce. Roxbury kept a written record of all the meetings. By spring vacation, he had written more than 50 memos concerning Snow. By April, Roxbury and Becker were prepared to take their recommendations to the Board of Education.